Can you guys hear this?
No, I'm hearing it.
Hello?
Just generally. But I want to like type the rebrand, but like sending us. If people really like me,
then
oh my god.
That's the white.
What is
the real I'm just seeing if the volume works. It was getting really high. So, everybody that's going to be working, I'll ask
them if they can do us. Sorry, let's go see.
Adrian might not have one. I am
okay.
So sorry, Adrian.
We have this one.
We do have markers in here somewhere.
It is the entire
someone.
Yes,
sorry, Adrian. We lost printed in March. Haven't done it again. There's a bag of markers in here somewhere. You will have a
thank you,
one in papers.
But it was like Barbara.
I don't know. Sometimes Sarah just has to be there. She
overpowered. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah. <God. laughs>
You feel you're important, even though the name thing doesn't reflect it. Hello? Hello? Okay. Hello, Philip.
Okay.
Oh, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Oh, going into isolation.
I know. Well, actually, it wasn't isolation. So
there's that. You know, I don't feel that for you. I don't feel like that's a good one for you.
No, it wasn't. It was. I was miserable. I woke up and I was miserable.
I totally get that. I had to go into isolation once, and within 2 days, I was like, I'm so bored.
What am I?
I am so sorry for you.
I know you very often, but that's even more related to me.
See, because why would you ever want to be positive in that situation?
Exactly. I was positive once and I never want to be again. Yeah.
Then I can reach out to them tomorrow. Okay, I will make a note of that and reach out because they were very upset that you had not confirmed an email.
Yeah.
Jeff, I think it's so funny because they just sent it to me.
I know.
Okay.
Most important thing. Even though it's such a rare
occurrence.
For a minute, I thought you meant council, and I'm like, I mean, they can let you in.
I'm
going to change the camera.
And then I start a class on Tuesday.
So make the teachers know.
Let us know. Okay. How are you, everybody?
We have a lot online. Also, I don't have camera. I just have me. Like, they can see me, but the other one is not connected. I don't know.
You just connected it again. Yeah, look.
We don't have camera.
Oh, that's not plugged into there.
I should fix it. Okay.
We should. Good job.
Yeah,
please.
Fill up your social. Come on. This is my stuff.
Okay, that was
okay.
Like, it gets away from it, but it's a good job.
All right, fantastic. So, can I just get the show on the road? I just minimized my screen. It's not fun. Hello, everybody. My name is Philip. I am your speaker for this year. Oh my goodness, the year is almost over. Woo! Exams. I am glad once again to be here with all of you. And we'll be going through today's session with you. First, we're going to go through our attendance. We're going to look at our attendance sheet and then run through our agenda as is listed. That's how this goes. First and most importantly, we would like to respectfully acknowledge that our university and our students' union are located on Treaty 6 territory. We are very grateful to be on Cree, Dene, Salto, Métis, Blackfoot, and the Nakotosio territory as well, specifically the ancestral space of the Papoose Cree. These nations are our family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students' Union, we honor this nation-to-nation treaty relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work towards the decolonization of Indigenous knowledges and traditions. I would also like to take this time to remind you that this space and the positions you hold are for those for whom you represent. You are not here for you, but instead here to represent others in exchange for a promise. We will use Robert's rules to be able to carry this out and ensure that we are honest and apt in our work. Okay, now we're gonna go through the counselor attendance sheet. If you hear your name once again and you're here in chambers with us, just, you know, say you're present and I'll mark you down. If you're here online, please do unmute yourself and let us know as well. Alrighty, fantastic. President May.
Present.
Vice President Montero.
Present.
Vice President Fulte.
Present.
Vice President Kimani.
Here.
Vice President Dixon.
Present.
Governor Watamandi.
Present.
Councilor Taha. Councilor Taha?
Present.
Shay.
Councilor Vaughn.
Present.
Councilor Corfe. Councilor Corfe. Okay. Councilor Yabut. Councilor Yabut.
Here.
Alrighty. Councilor Villa.
Here.
Councilor Villoso.
Here.
Councilor Kaur. Councilor Kaur?
I think she was here. I think she's just coming back from
South now. Oh, okay. Okay. When she comes, we'll take her present. Councilor Beasley?
Here.
Councilor Amar?
Here.
Hi. Councilor Gardner? I don't think Councilor Gardner is going to be here today. Okay. Councilor Morris?
Here.
Councilor Matoska?
Present.
Councillor Ouellet.
Present.
Hi. Councillor Thakur.
Present.
Hello. Councillor Kara.
Present.
Councillor Batiki.
Present.
Councillor Zafar. Councillor DePrato. Councillor DePrato. Councillor Gill.
Present.
Councillor Chopra.
Present.
Councillor Mitte.
Here.
Councillor Ali.
Present.
Councillor Brandon.
Present.
Councillor Lala. Councillor Sivakumar. Councillor Barazesh. Councillor Barazesh. Councillor Dillon.
Present.
Councillor Yola.
Hi.
Hi. Mr. Dumisha.
Present.
Ah, hello. Okay, if we have any guests coming live to us online, please do enter your name in the chat so that if you'd like to speak, we'd be able to give you the chance to speak. Okay. Alrighty. Oh, I see we have a guest back there.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi.
Hello.
Would you like to introduce yourself kindly?
Sure. My name is Trent Bailey. I'm the vice chair of the Anti-Racism Advisory Committee of the City Council. I'm also an advisor to the National Council Committee of Muslims.
Okay. So technically, according to the standing orders that we have in policy, for us to have a guest, we need to have the motion to be present in this session. So would anyone like to motion to have a present? Okay. Is that put forward by Councillor Ali?
Sure.
Okay, seconded. You have any seconded? Okay, seconded by Councillor Morris. Anybody in opposition? No? All righty. Well, welcome. Fantabulous. So now what we're going to do is we're going to step into the speaker's business. So there has been quite a lot that's been going on in the last couple weeks. As you guys may have seen in the Oscars, you know, things got a little spicy over there. As well, the Grammys were released, and a few of you already know how I feel about that, but we won't get into that right now. What I would like to say is it's entering exam season, and this is usually a very, very high stress period for our students, for our representatives, for our constituents. And I do hope that you guys are also taking some time to, you know, give yourself a bit of a break. I know you've done really well throughout the semester. And even though it's crunch time now, honestly, you have been doing the work all semester. So big up, keep it going. Make sure you've got your monsters. Well, I'm not advocate for use of monsters. They don't pay me, but make sure you've got your energy boosters with you ready for the exam season. Good luck to you. Okay, so we're going to move into the consent agenda. Once again, I don't know if there is anybody who is against who's against the minutes from the last session, or if there are any changes that need to be made. No changes? Alrighty then. In that case, we can move to, I guess, not to make any changes, eh? Not making any changes, okay. Okay, I see we've got two guests entering. Hi, what would technically be processes, since your guests would be to register with us, just to know if, in what capacity you're coming. If you're a guest with a member of council, and then we'd have to motion you to be present once again. Yeah.
My name is Malaysia Moyen, and I'm vice president of internal external relations for the Aboriginal Student Council.
Welcome.
I'm Shauna Staves. I'm VP administration for the Aboriginal Student Council.
Okay, that was well. I guess since I'm assuming you guys are students as well, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, then we don't need to. We need to.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Sorry for that little entry stop right there. Okay. So we don't have anything in the presentations I see. So we're going to move to section 4 of our agenda, which is the executive committee reports. As always, we will begin with Vice President Dixon.
I'm sorry. As I mentioned in my report, I hope everyone's doing well. I'm going to turn this on. I know exams are really stressful. I haven't done this in a long time, but I know at the start of the year I was doing a wellness in my report. So I kept it pretty simple for this week, and I linked a podcast that I've been really enjoying for everybody to listen to if they would like. So I'll recap some of the things that I said in my written report. Just because I know we have a very hectic agenda, so I don't know if everyone got a chance to read it. The first thing I'll speak about is the airspace that has been set up in the NECI building. This is the last time I will talk about this, I promise. It's finally set up. Adrian also did an amazing amount of work through ESS on that, and so did Diversity at Eng and Eng faculty staff. So big props to all of them for really making this happen. It's open to all folks for prayer, meditation, relaxation, and also session within that space. And we're hopeful that a lot of people are able to use it because this is a pilot project to expand prayer spaces across campus. The second thing, also the last time I will mention this, hopefully during the report, is Indigenous Celebration Week. It was hosted from March 21st to March 25th in collaboration with AFC, which is your name, yay. And many of their execs are here today, so big shout out to all of them for helping plan it, but also running sessions and things like that. I hope that everybody was able to make it out, and if you weren't, no worries, because it will be happening next year, hopefully far into the future. Our turnout was okay, you know, could have improved for sure, but I think the quality of sessions was definitely really important and very impactful on our campus, and we're looking forward to what a fully post-COVID year this event will look like. On Monday the 28th, we had a day of action rally. I am sure Christian will talk about it a little bit more, but I also just wanted to thank everybody who came out in sleet and snow to that. I know that it's really hard to come out. I think I would say, I don't know if I would have come to this if I wasn't planning it. So very happy that everyone was there. And the final thing I wanted to mention was a quick update on the period equity project. So as all of you know, we ordered August products, which are very sustainable and from a really cool company that you probably saw on TikTok. However, they've had huge global supply chain issues, and our order is now like almost a month delayed. So we're hopeful that we'll get it really soon so that folks can start testing out that product for the new year. And I know my time is almost up, so I do have a list of a few things that I'm trying to finish up, but a lot of my things now are just tying up loose ends on my projects, policies, et cetera, and also working to transition my incoming journey. So that's all, thank you.
Thank you so much, Vice President Dixon. We'll move forward to Vice President Kimani.
Thank you, Philip. Hello, everybody. Hope you're well, and exam season and final exam season is doing well. Get chocolate or candy or something and eat your feelings out. So a few updates for me. So first, they've been working to finalize the capital and operating budget alongside Mark and our head of finance. So we'll be going through the budget later on, so I'm happy to answer any questions then. Secondly, SetMart officially has a bulk food section. So if you haven't already seen, I suggest you go over there and check it out. It's really cool. And we're actually going to put up two more dispensers. So if you have any suggestions of anything you should carry, let me know. Edit has been working to finish up its mandate. So we finished up the draft recommendations and sent them out to various groups for consultation. We've gotten a lot of great feedback so far. So we're just in the process of incorporating that before we finalize the final draft and then finish up the mandate for the year. And then other than that, I've just been working on transition planning. I've met with Julia a couple times now, and just like wrapping up the last few months of planning projects before I leave in 2 weeks. That's all for me. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Vice President. We'll move forward to Vice President.
Sorry, I forgot one more thing.
Okay.
We got some funding for the Violet King Award, which I'm really, really excited about. Establishing that award has definitely been like one of the highlights of my year, so I'm excited that Black students will get the recognition they deserve. How are you, people, man?
Yeah.
that's fantastic. Congratulations once again. Vice President Fote.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. As Vice President Dixon already mentioned, thank you to all who were able to come out to the rally. I know that the weather was not the most inviting, but it's too cold. Someone reported for Reno was it going that's the worst weathers of the rallies we remember the most. So yeah, thank you to those. And also on that, even recognizing that the weather was not the best, like Soul Banking area and the exact team and all those who helped organize and plan and did as many outreach as we could. And we really liked the format of letting people to come speak about their experience with, you know, how cuts have affected them. And I think that's a model we kind of hope to use going forward. Second, in terms of things that have been happening at the provincial level, so with COS, we are at the process of beginning our interviews for candidates for hiring a new executive director for COS. We've gotten a lot of applicants. I think 31 is the last time I checked, so we definitely And also working with the chair to develop a consultation framework that we can provide to the provincial government. So whatever comes out of that, you bring to COPA and council to even share your perspectives on, knowing that for any kind of tuition proposal or increase or whatever has been any issue with in regards to post-secondary that students are probably consulted on. The federal level with CAFSA, I'm happy to report that in the finance committee's budget recommendations, a lot of the recommendations, well, some of the recommendations they provided in regards to PSD, but basically work for a copy paste, so CAS is asked, which is really the strength of our federal advocacy. And I'm going to drop in the WhatsApp chat kind of like what that looks like, but it's honestly, for council these bills, it's actually obviously hilarious. It's like, me, it's not even Mueller being blatant about plagiarizing our work, which is like, we won't complain as long as it benefits students. So we're keeping an eye out for April 7th and in 2 days to see what the federal budget would look like and if they took those considerations seriously. And we also had our final AGM conference, and that was great. We also hired a new executive director for CAS.
Sorry, Vice President. That's the end of the day. Of course. Okay. Vice President Montero.
Okay, thanks, both. Hi, everybody. So, really quick updates for me. First is the Festival of Teaching and Learning. So, the Festival of Teaching and Learning is an annual event that happens for members of the University of Alberta Teaching and Learning community to share, demonstrate, explore, and embody different approaches to university teaching and enhancing pedagogies. The reason I bring this up is because this year the conference is happening from May 3rd to 5th, and due to student consultation, they're actually going to be doing things a little bit differently. So they're going to be hosting a keynote, but the keynote is not going to be a speaker, but it's going to be a student panel. And the purpose of the student panel is to cover one specific topic around reimagining post-pandemic pedagogy, which is accommodations in the property and sun. I'm just going to read you a little section of it, just so you know what it is, because they are looking for students, undergraduate students, to be on this panel to share some of their experiences. So we are building and hosting a keynote conversation so that the U of A teaching and learning community can listen to and hear from students from U of A students on their lived experiences with accommodations and design of teaching and learning. A desired outcome is that we as a community, in reimagining our post-pandemic pedagogies at the U of A, can work towards more proactive design of our teaching and learning with our real student voices in mind. So that is the purpose of the session. They are looking for students currently who want to be involved in being a part of that keynote conversation and sharing some of their experiences. So if any of you are interested, if you know any other students who would be interested, please send them my way to reach out to me, and I'm happy to connect them with the people who are applying so that they can be involved. The second thing is the Student Governance Code of Conduct. I'm just finalizing our consultation on this item with a couple of other stakeholders. So the plan is to bring this philosophy to the council on April 19th. The student engagement policy is also going through final consultations and will be coming to the last meeting of council. And I'm just finalizing the bylaw 2300 amendments for temporary replenishment, as we talked about as a group in our last meeting. And you'll see first principles coming to all of you today that requires some secondary amendments to bylaw 100 in order to make sure this can happen. And I'll talk about that later on. And finally, I put a picture of my intramural basketball team in here. Because it's a point of pride for me, because we've had a really good run over the last 4 years. So.
Okay, thank you very much, Vice President Montero. And congratulations on the work as well. President Lee.
Great, thanks very much, Philip. So the weekend before last, Christian and I attended a memorial for the victims of COVID-19 at Edmonton at City Hall. It's a powerful moment and also an important thing for us to be at. this. We, of course, want to make sure that students are supported in COVID policy decisions moving forward, because we do know that COVID is not over yet. It's also important that we engage in municipal governance and politics, because the zoning bylaw in the city of Edmonton is being renewed in the next month. So EP Boateng and I are going to be making sure that there's a strong student presence at all zoning bylaw engagements, so that we can make sure that zoning bylaw changes are made in the interest of students who often require rental housing, who often have lower incomes, and who historically have not been reflected in the kinds of housing and amenities that zoning bylaws have been meant to create. The Board of Governors met the week before last, and unfortunately the board did approve the proposed tuition and fee rates for next year. I will say that for the first time in 8 years or so, we had a non-student vote no on the tuition proposals. That was Andre Tvirka, a NASA representative, so we're grateful for NASA's solidarity in these matters. I've also been working closely with Vicky Monteiro to transition him into this role as president and to plan for our executive retreat at the end of March, sorry, at the end of April. So that's going to be taking up a considerable amount of my time to make sure that Vicky Monteiro is prepared to serve as effectively as possible as president. Last of all, during our question period, I'm going to be sharing some plans that we have discussed with Sierra Marquez, the speaker, and Vicky Monteiro, to address harassment and discrimination in student governance and try to find structural solutions so that we can stop dealing with these problems on an ad hoc basis in an improvised way, like unfortunately has been the practice for many years. So I'll be sharing that. I'm sure all of you saw the statement that we released over the weekend about the recent behavior that Councillor Ali has experienced. We want to take steps to ensure that folks in governance in the future have better supports when these kinds of things happen, and that's what I'm going to be sharing in the question period.
Right. Thank you very much, Mr. President. And we look forward to the incoming. Holy, isn't that exciting? Okay. No pressure, though. We're going to jump then to section 5 of our agenda, which is board and committee report, starting with our board of governors. Or representative. Board of governors representative.
Thank you, Philip. So not too much this week. The biggest thing was, of course, our board meeting a couple weeks ago on the 25th. Ron covered most of it. It was quite nice to see Andre supporting us in voting against the different proposal. That is pretty unique on the board. But overall, we had a good discussion. Myself and President Larry's, I think, some fairly student-centered points on the proposal and budget, and hopefully got at least a little bit of an impact and make members think twice before voting in favor. Of course, still a far cry from defeating the motions, but I thought it was good progress. I would also encourage you to read the President Larry's report, the comments on performance-based funding, because that is pretty significant. And it's good to see that these metrics at this point are fairly achievable from the UK's point of view, and administration is pretty confident in that. I was able to attend the rally on the 28th. Thank you everyone who came out despite the weather. It was a little chilly, but it was a great event. And it was awesome to hear from everybody at that event. And the only other thing is I've started my transition with the new biograph Alex Groshide, and we'll be continuing to work over the remainder of the month to get him ready for his time on board. He will also be attending our last couple of committee meetings, and we'll be kind of debriefing after that just to make sure he is ready to go for next year. That's all for me.
Thank you very much, Ms. Governor Watamani. We're going to move forward to ARC.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Last week at ARC, we finalized and finally completed and approved the new version of our acknowledgement of traditional territories. And today in CAC, I am happy to say that that has now been approved and is the new Students Union. Personally thank Vice President Dixon and Councillor Beasley for doing so much work on this. I understand it's been around 3 years in the making. So really happy to have that done. And that's all from ARC for now. Thank you.
Thank you so much, ARC. And once again, from you, Chairperson, Executive Committee. Oh, sorry, I skipped a whole bunch. Audit.
Okay, yeah, for audit, we're just finishing off the remaining audits and then figuring out how to give out checks and disbursing the money. So that's it.
All right, thank you so much. From audit bylaw. Is there, I recognize the chair is not here, so.
Yeah, I can do a chair for bylaw. So our last bylaw meeting, we basically discussed the motion that was at council. The 2300 punishment and how we're going to go about that, and the best process going forward to make sure that we're meeting the requirements in bylaw and also fill those vacancies for Students Council and GSE.
All right. Thank you so much, Vilo, for the hard work that you guys are doing for us. CAC.
Hello. I know Lauren talked about the Lightning Conference being at the CAC today. And other than that, the only update we have is the year end council appreciation, which will be on Thursday the 24th, if I'm not mistaken. It'll be at RAT. We'll have snacks, a couple more, which we unfortunately can't pay for. But we'll have karaoke. It'll be fun.
I should do something.
Yeah, you should.
Thank you so much, Chairperson from CAC. As well for the good work you guys have been doing all your executive committee.
Thanks very much, Mr. Speaker. So recently the executive committee is doing a lot of work to coordinate our transition to make sure that all of the VPs are able to come in with the information and the experience that they need. We've also been discussing dive board selection and replenishment, making sure that we have folks on the committees that need to handle that. And we've been discussing some internal governance issues around the positive work that's being done on staff EDI. We've also been discussing academic issues, including MyPreds, which many people will be aware of. We've been working on developing a plan to get this fee removed, hopefully not next academic year, but the start of the following academic year, because that is the, unfortunately, cycle of the academic governance committee, which we're going to be doing this through. Happy to answer any questions if those happen.
Okay, thank you so much, Executive Committee, once again. FGC.
Wow, we've had a few issues between Coral in the last few meetings, but we've been meeting with the different DMVs separately, so that work is going on. But yeah, we haven't reached Coral, so we haven't actually had like legit.
Oh, well, I think then a conversation needs to be had with the capture about Coral and some committees then, hey? If that's, is that, that's
how their own standing orders.
Well, if you guys are in FGC, please go to your meetings so we can have stuff. Please and thank you. Finance Committee.
Yeah, so we went over the budget and we approved it, and we also ratified the list of what you see
from the project. All right. Thank you, Finance Committee, for meeting. All the non-com.
Yeah, so non-com finalized all the application postings that normally go up at the beginning of the semester. To get student at large to apply for our positions on the committees. So that work is done and it is ready as a package for the next group to come in and be able to start that work without the supposed to be doing.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. Alrighty, Policy Committee.
Hello, everyone. Policy Committee met last Monday and we did some e-votes to approve the first principles to bring to all of you of three policies. So I look forward to hopefully approving those and hearing any questions or discussions that you have on that. And then next meeting, we will finalize the rest of the principles that are up for renewal for, we'll be bringing the second principles to you guys for our next council meeting. So looking forward to that as well.
Thank you so much, once again, Policy Committee, and from you, Chairperson, for the work you're doing. SCFC.
Yeah, so we did not receive any applications for our last round, unfortunately. So there was no need for us to meet, and it was also the provincial election, so we didn't get to pass on you.
All right, I think that's worth it. Hey, SGC.
Yeah, so last time SGC met, we talked about the requirements for student group recognition. So it was primarily focused around graduate students or graduate student groups who primarily host events for undergraduate students. So we're just working through some of that stuff within student group services, bylaws and policies, and provided some feedback to them, and they're going to be coming back to us with some provisions that we're working on to recommend.
All right, that sounds fantastic and juicy. Sustainability.
Hello. Okay, so we are in the middle of working on our recommendations. We're doing consultation right now. Our goal is to have that done soon because we have to bring our stuff to council before the end of the year. So if you're on this committee and you haven't sent out your consultation emails, please do that. And if any of you here have gotten consultation emails because of the various groups or whatever you're in, please respond to it. We're running short on time. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, once again. And all almost done. Translation.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Translation was not able to reach quorum last time. I contacted the chair of translation committee to figure out what's going on and to try to get things back on track. So I'll let council know if that's successful. Theoretically, all of our translations of bylaws should be finished by now for being with the translator. We haven't heard back from the translator in a couple weeks. We're not sure why that is. It's a really reputable professional. So we think that there's something odd going on there. We should hear back soon. So theoretically, those translations should all be finished. I can't provide them at this meeting. I'd like to be able to provide them at the next meeting.
All right. Yeah, I think we'll be looking forward to hearing them. And I don't know if many people here speak French. I know I don't. So if you guys want to help, be fantastic. Okay, cool. I don't think I've forgotten any committees this time, right? No, all good, clear, all righty. Okay, so we have just completed section 5, so now we're gonna go to section 6, which is open forum. So once again, open forum, as you may know, this is the period for which our guests are allowed to ask questions to council about matters that have been put on the motion, put on the agenda, I apologize, or matters for which we can respond to alike. So if any of our guests would like to ask any questions, please do, if you're online, enter your name into the chat. If you're in person, please do just raise your hand and state where you're coming from, obviously your name, so that everybody's aware of, you know, where the questions are and who you represent. So if any of our guests would like to go on to the speaker list, let us know and we'll get on to it. All right. Okay, we have a request from Jin Hei from the Gateway. Go ahead.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We are aware that the UASU released a statement about hateful speech both in person and online about Councillor Lee. However, this statement is not available on the UASU's website or on Reddit, where much of this situation occurred. Will they be posted on these platforms?
Okay.
Yeah, I can answer that. The reason we did put it on Reddit is our understanding that the Reddit moderators have banned any further posts related to that situation. And so if we posted it, it would be taken down. So that's why it's not on Reddit. As for the website, we can put it on the website. That's not a problem. It's currently on the Instagram and the Twitter. Putting it on the website is a pretty easy matter.
Okay.
May I ask a follow-up question?
Yes, go ahead.
If the post is to be taken down by the moderators, is there any way to get around that so that it will be posted in the future?
The answer is no. The UAlberta Reddit moderators have made very clear that they don't take direction from the Students' Union or the university. And obviously, Reddit is a third-party website. We have no control over that. And that, unfortunately, is something that you would have to talk to the moderators of the Reddit community about.
Okay. Have we any more questions from guests to the floor? No? Okay. You have a question?
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. Once again, please do be sure to tell us your name once again, sorry, and then the floor is yours to ask some questions.
Okay. My name is Trent Bailey. Jordan. Okay. My name is Trent Daly. I'm with the Anti-Racism Advisory Committee at the City of Edmonton. I wear a lot of different hats in the community as well. I just wanted to ask a question. I was hoping that council could potentially form a plan, like a crisis plan, to address harassment cases, be they affecting people in student governance or members of the student body as a whole. Should harassment cases of this nature, representing online hate and other issues, happen again on campus, you know, have some sort of crisis plan so how council can respond in a timely and meaningful manner? Because I think it represents a lot of power to have student leaders such as yourselves speak on things like this. Because many students that have experienced harassment or who don't hold power, they look to you for guidance. And I think that having some sort of crisis plan for future scenarios would be, I think, a really strong point. And I think that many people in the community are very grateful to you for showing leadership and issuing that statement. So thank you.
Okay. Just before you go, I think, so if I'm getting your question correct, you're looking for like a policy that will be able to deal with these situations.
Yeah, like a crisis comms plan, a communication strategy, something, it doesn't have to be something intensive, but something about how to react when something like this is to occur, you know, whether it be a Discord server, Reddit, et cetera, you know, online hate, and that discourse is always changing. So having plans to address it is always a good strategy for places of power.
Okay. I don't know if anybody from the floor would like to answer that. From what I understand, from the university at least, I think there are like ways to go about it through UApps, which they have like ways you can report all that. And this is just from what I know as I was, like, as I used to run, and something like this has happened to me before. So I don't know how, like, where that stands right now, but if anyone from the floor would like to just to speak on what the question is, please do go ahead.
To your point on UApps, Philip, there isn't anything they can do if it's international or if it's like a non-traceable account. For me, a lot of what I dealt with was international, so there's nothing that could be done, not even about the death threats that I received. So there really isn't that much right now.
Okay, cool. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Mr. Speaker, I can actually just make my member statement now if you like, because it directly addresses that topic. Yeah, so I'm glad you raised the question because that's actually what Philip, Lucas, Abner, and I have been talking about. We've come up with a number of ideas for how we can approach this. Obviously, this isn't final and we're certainly open to making changes, but I'll run you through the ideas that we've come up with so far because it is obvious that we need to systematize this and come up with a plan so that we don't deal with this in an ad hoc way, which has been a practice basically for like many years now. I've talked to previous execs and it has always been an issue. So I'll give you a list of some of the things that we think we can do that will help. So first of all, we want to expand the job description of the speaker to include personal support and conflict resolution assistance for counselors who are affected by bullying, harassment, or being in their work as a student representative. We think that professionalizing this and giving it to the speaker and making sure that that's properly transitioned into a resource will help a lot. The speaker is probably the best person to handle this, and Philip and I discussed this, we both agree, because the speaker is an impartial third party who people can come to. It is a reality because of the political nature of the job of execs. The execs are often caught up in conflicts between counselors or conflicts with other people in student governance. And so it will be a lot better to have a speaker as an impartial third party to directly support and assist that student as the first point of response. So the next thing we're going to do, which partly was already going to be done through the governance code of conduct, but which we are thinking will expand a little bit, is the creation of a complaint form that's accessible to all council members, allowing for reporting both of harassment from within governance, but also from the outside, including on social media, and will help empower the speakers and other folks in the Students' Union to respond to and support that. This is to address, honestly, an information gap that often exists now, where I think people assume that the executive committee and the speaker know everything that's going on, and we actually often don't. We only hear like partial rumors or conflicting rumors, and for us to be able to hear directly from people what's happening and what they want, what their needs are for support, will make it a lot easier for us to respond directly. Next, we're going to create a resource checklist to connect students with if they face harassment or hate in their role in governance, including a crisis comms toolkit, which obviously will be advice, but you know, people can support it also in putting that information out there. But evidently, people will be able to make final choices about how they respond to incidents that they directed against them. We'll connect them with university and students' union mental health and wellness supports, where appropriate and where they want to. And we can also support connecting them with UApps and police if needed, and if that's something that they want. I discussed this with Lucas yesterday, and we can also create some parallel supports through the elections office and the CRO's office. And one thing that we do want to do is create an MOU on election conduct that all candidates will have to sign, which will cover a lot of these things about bullying and harassment and misuse of social media. Obviously, these things are not perfect, but I think that this creates a structural basis for us to respond to hate and harassment in government, in governance in the future. A lot of these issues, also, one of the best things we can do is help connect students to university supports offered through the Dean of Students Office. So we're going to be talking to the Dean of Students Office to figure out how we can create a smoother pathway that allows us to do that. So overall, I think professionalizing, systemizing, and moving this work into impartial third parties
will help us a lot in dealing with the hate that we have seen in governance and the bullying that we have seen in governance. We'll make sure that there's appropriate transition and training on this so that the next speaker, the next CRO, and the next executive team are prepared to address it appropriately. And we don't continue with this pattern that has existed for years now of an ad hoc approach where no one really knows what they're supposed to do, and this leads to the system failing people where they could have been better supported. So those are obviously the changes that we've already discussed. We're certainly open to meeting others, and we welcome council's feedback and support as we move forward on doing this. And this is something we'd like to be implementing as we move into the next governance cycle.
Okay. Oh, I see there's another entrance there from Jinhae from the Gateway. Go ahead.
Perfect. Thank you. And my apologies if this has already been answered. I couldn't quite hear, but if the moderators on Reddit don't listen to the UASU and they direct hate to students on campus, will the UASU commit to not using Reddit in the future as they've been called upon by some to do?
I can answer that question. The answer is no. Reddit is an essential tool for us to reach students. All social media platforms are problematic. Facebook is currently complicit in multiple genocides around the world. We have not done nearly enough to stop that. Twitter, I don't think I have to explain to you all how Twitter is complicit in harassment of native politicians every day. We need to be able to communicate with our students. And if we cut ourselves off from a platform like Reddit, all that does is it reduces our ability to spread accurate information and to constructively discuss student governance. So I don't believe that boycotting Reddit would be productive or helpful for students in any way. I don't think it is any more warranted than boycotting any other social media platform. So the answer is no, we do plan to continue using Reddit in a constructive and productive way that helps make the community better.
Okay. Do we have any more entrances into the speakers list for open forum? Nope. Okay, cool. On that note, we will then move to section 7, which is question period. Now, this is the period, once again, for our members of council to be able to pose questions to other members of council, committees, and to members of the executive to, you know, just kind of find out what is going on and how things can be best made or changes can be best made. So once again, if you're online on Zoom, please do enter your name into the speaker's list through the chat. And if you're here, just, you know, raise your placard and I'll do my best to put or to note you down for our speaker's list. So without further ado, if you've got any questions, please do go ahead and ask or send your name into the speaker's list. Okay. Yes, go ahead.
My question is for, I guess, Rowan, Adam, and Philip. When did you folks start working on this sort of response stuff?
So we had some high-level conversations, for example, about how to deal with elections, factoring elections. Pulling this together into a more cohesive package is something that we did over the last couple days.
You're
good. I have a follow-up question, I guess. I'm just wondering why there wasn't this urgency or like push to make these policy changes when you were seeing what I was going through and I was sharing what I was going through. It was really hurtful throughout the election and throughout like a lot of time since. Even getting messages from a few folks saying that they had no idea it was this bad and not knowing what they could do about it. When I was crying here 6 months ago in November, telling you folks that something bad had happened and I needed you to do something about it. I guess just why wasn't that urgency there in March to create these policy changes? Because I still have trouble leaving my house after the things people were saying to me. I'm terrified every day. So that's my question.
So the answer, Mr. Speaker, is for the incidents during elections, the elections office responded to those, and we didn't know that there were concerns with the elections office response. So that was led by the elections office, and no one asked us to do anything above or beyond what the elections office had done. There was no communication with us about it.
In this case, we specifically received a request to do something, and so that's why we've acted differently in this case.
Oh, sorry. This session, this kind of period is only for members of council. Do we have any more questions from the floor or from members of council? No? Okay. Now in that case, we're going to move forward to board and committee business. We're going to begin with, go ahead.
Mr. Speaker, I just remember, did you make a quick motion from the floor to amend our order of time to 8:15 because some members of council may be concerned about that?
Okay. Sorry, just threw me off there. Hi, it's nice to see you. I think that's a fair motion that can be brought to the floor. I was going to mention about that. I forgot to talk about that in speaker's business, but if anyone would like to step out at any point to be able to observe their breaking fast rather than for Lent, you're very, very welcome to do so. No problem. The motion has been brought to the floor. Do we have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Ali. Do we have any questions, comments, points of clarification on that motion? No? Okay. I guess we're going to do a vote in favor and a vote against. All in favor for the motion, please do raise your placard or raise your hands in the participants list online. We'll be able to see. Okay. It seems like we have an overwhelming majority. Anybody against this motion? No. All right, the motion is passed. So we're going to move our break to 8:15 and power through it. We'll have to see it. Okay. All righty. So now we are going to enter into Section 8, Subsection A, which is a motion by Vice President Dixon to appoint two members of Student Council to the Dai Board Tribune Selection Committee. Would you like to give us a bit of a... we have a seconder. Do you have a seconder for this motion? Put forward by Councillor Vaughan, thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Thanks, Vaughan, for that. I was forgot about the center. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's two folks who will be sitting on the new selection committee for members of the Dai board. I think for the executive, it's myself and Rowan who are sitting on it. So, yeah, if you have any other questions, please let me know. Simple as it sounds, this is the selection committee just for Dai board.
Okay, we'd like to put two folks forward to be able to select our next tribune members. First, as you guys know how this goes, if you'd like to put forward a nominee, enter your name into the speaker's list, and we can get this ball rolling. If you'd like to nominate yourself, please do go ahead. No problem. What's the question? No problem. We will, threw me off. So we'll put this forward in the way we usually do. So if you've got someone you want to nominate for this, please do enter your name into the speaker's list and we'll be able to ask. And then, nominate, have them approve or say no, respectfully decline, sorry. And then kind of keep it moving. Yeah, okay, cool. Councillor Matoska, go ahead.
I'm just wondering what the time commitment is for this.
So I have been told that it should be a very low time commitment. To be honest, I don't know. I kind of send myself a quick on the Bible too. But yes, so apparently it's going to be a very low time commitment just over the next couple of weeks before we finish up our term. Nothing too heavy. But I don't know specific meeting times or anything like that. I'm assuming you decide afterwards.
Councilor Matoska, did you catch that? Okay, yes, okay, fabulous. All righty. So, would you like to enter some nominations, please? Could we have some nominations for this board tribune selection committee? Please, please, and thank you. Anybody, any nominations? Yes, go ahead, Councilor Beale.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Beale.
Oh, really? Councilor Beale, do you accept?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for being our first acceptance. Can we get a couple more nominations? Not just one, a couple more nominations, as many as we can put forward. Yes, go ahead.
Does Councilor Matuska still have
a hand up? I think it's just kind of from the left. Councilor Matuska, is this a new hand up or push for it? Have we got any more nominations from the floor or soft nominations? I guess it's simply. Any more nominations? Well, we still need one more member. Oh, I mean, a couple more, sorry. Go ahead.
I'd like to nominate Vaughn.
Again, eye contact. I'd like to spend your time. Thank you.
No problem. That's all right. Do we have any more nominations? Yes.
I'd like to nominate Adrian. He is purposely avoiding eye contact.
Oh, reluctantly accept.
Oh, fantastic. Do we have any more nominations?
Just for some.
Do we have any more nominations from the floor? No? Well, then in that case, we won't be needing a forum because our two selections are Councilor Avila and Governor Waterman. Congratulations. Okay, our next section 8B is a motion by Councilor Vaughan to approve the change name from Aboriginal Student Council to Indigenous Students Union. Do you have a second up? Yes, put forward by Councillor Barazesh. Welcome to the session. Okay, would you like to give us a bit of a tidbit? Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So last Friday, April 1st, and this is not April Fool's joke, the ASC had our annual general meeting, and in it, we approved some constitutional changes, and one of the big ones is a change of name from Aboriginal Student Council to Indigenous Students Union. And sort of the rationale behind this was to sort of reflect more of a treaty relationship between the Students' Union and our organization, and to move away from sort of the band council inspired form of governance that comes from the Indian Act and that is not representative of what ASC does necessarily. So yeah, I'm just here today to ask council for a new change, as we are in an SRA, and Mr. Speaker, I'm also going to put forward a call for division. Thank you.
Sorry, I was talking some water. thank you, Councillor Vaughan. So call for division has been made. Would anyone like to speak on that, just for it, like members who don't know what it means? Yeah, go ahead.
I don't want to speak on the call for division. I want to speak on like why we have to bring it to council.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Still valid. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, as I understand it, our name is just reflected in certain bylaws as Aboriginal Student Council. So, as I was told, I had to come to council for a name change, as we are an SRA and we have delegated authority under y'all. So.
Nobody cares about the actual
file of context. Okay. Well then, in that case, would you like to speak then on why you'd like it to be
division?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought I would kind of spice things up. And this is sort of, to me at least, a very important motion put forward. And I'd like to see this sort of as a quasi-commitment to truth and reconciliation for all of council.
Okay, well, that's fun. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah?
Could you just explain for the people who may not know what it is, what a public division is? Just say you don't know that.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Admiral.
No,
you're asking me to do it? I think I do too much talking. No. I honestly think that there's too much coming from me. I think it's better to come from the floor.
Sure, yeah, I can. So basically, a call for division means that you'll go through roll call, one individual at a time, and every single person will indicate what their vote is, yes or no, as opposed to doing it via a ballot, and everyone just votes anonymously.
Thank you so much. So now that that call has been made, I need to ask if there's anybody who's against this. And so like the way it would be is if you're against it, then you speak on why you're against it, and then we vote on it. No. All right then. Okay, so we're gonna go on roll call to be able to vote on this. Just give me a couple of seconds to pull this up again. Okay. So once again, when I call your name, please do cite your vote in favor or against. I don't think we'll be able to like kind of go an abstinence because this has been spoken quite eloquently by the president of the ASC, which was going to be changing. So, yeah, is everybody clear on how this is going to go, I guess? Okay. President Lee.
Very honored to vote yes.
Vice President Montero.
In favor.
In favor. Vice President Fotek.
I vote in favor of the motion.
Vice President Kimani.
In favor.
Vice President Dixit.
I vote in favor of the motion.
Governor Ottomani.
Also vote in favor of the motion.
Councillor Taha. Councillor Taha. I don't know if Councillor Taha is present anymore. Okay, Councillor Vaughan. Well, I guess this is the motion we've been for.
In favor.
Councillor Kripi.
In favor.
Councillor Yagud. Councillor Yagud. Councillor Avila.
In favor.
Thank you, thank you. Councillor Viloso. Councillor Viloso. Okay, Councillor Kaur.
In favor.
Thank you. Councillor Measley.
I vote for the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Amar. Councillor Amar. Okay, Councillor Gardner. Councillor Morris. Councillor Motoska.
Absolutely in favor.
Councillor Ouellet.
In favor.
Councillor Thakur. Councillor Thakur.
Sorry, it was not working. 1 second. Yeah, I'm in favor of the motion. I'm really sorry for that.
That's okay. That's okay. It gets a bit finicky there, eh? Councillor Kara.
In favor.
Councillor Batiki.
In favor.
Councillor Zafar. Councillor Zafar. Councillor De Prato. Councillor De Prato. Okay, Councillor Gill.
In favor.
Councillor Chopra. Councillor Chopra. Okay. Councillor Mitte.
In favor.
Oh, thank you. Councillor Ali.
In favor.
All right. Councillor Brownway.
I'm in favor.
Councillor Lala. Councillor Sivakumara. Councillor Barazet.
Absolutely in favor.
Councillor Dillo.
In favor.
Councillor Ayola.
In favor.
All right, so the motion has passed and it's cut quorum. Councillor, sorry, the motion has passed overwhelmingly, I guess, unanimously, so congratulations. And we look forward to the path that's coming.
Thank you.
All right.
Yell for that because it's just fun.
Congratulations once again, Councillor Vaughan, for this motion. Section 8C now is a motion by Councillor Matoska to approve the first principles of the Campus Saint Jean policy. Councillor Matoska, do you have a seconder? Put forward by Councillor Beasley. Already, Councillor Matoska, or anybody, I guess, who's been working on this policy, would you like to speak on this so everybody's got context?
I'll just pass my time off to Councillor Beasley.
All right.
So I've not pulled up the document, but I did help write it with AUFS today. And so basically this is just like part of normal like policy modernization processes. So this is just a review of the CSJ like policy to keep up to date, to throw in more information that is relevant, to change information that might no longer be relevant, advocacy asks may have been accomplished already. This was basically written with the direction of AUFSJ and then either them putting the language directly or me putting the language and then them confirming it. They also have a letter of support that they've attached for the first principles of the facts as it is today. I need to make one small change to second principles, but second principles should be coming back 2 weeks from now. But I'm super happy to answer any questions. If you have particularly policy-oriented questions about why the numbers are in there, I may look to Folk Tank and Roland to help me out on those. But between the three of us, we can probably get you answers or refer you back to our today at this chain.
Fantastic, fantabulous. That sounds like it's a well-worked-out policy, and congratulations on bringing this to the floor. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I have the form ready already, but I just need to make sure it gets to everybody that's here and online. So give me a couple seconds. Oh, sorry, Councilor Matoska, go ahead.
I'm just wondering if, because there's three policies that we have to put forward for first principles, if we'll do like a single form and we can go through each one of them before we vote. That way you can just send one form to us with each of the policies on there to approve or not.
Mm-hmm. I'd actually like to ask if we can do all of them.
All separately?
Can we do it all at the same time?
Oh, okay, so, first, alrighty, so Councillor Tusk, I think the reason why I do them separately is because we have to have a record of of the votes kept for the year. So for each and every one, I guess we could just kind of do that on each and then have it all just kind of one. I think it makes it easier. Hey, so I guess, it should be fine. So you guys give me a couple of seconds as well, then I can work on that and put them all in one document. Then at the same time though, the thing is we talk about them at different stages, and different stages means different people are there, not there. So then, just put it all, so I think it's like, I think it's better for us now, like moving forward, that we do it like that. Yes.
I was just going to make a suggestion. If the concern is about time that it takes us to vote, could you just send out all the voting forms at once? I just want us to have a very wholesome conversation about all of the policies, because I think some of them are pretty important.
Yeah.
You don't want to glide over them because it's an omnibus motion.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That would be very separate. So putting them as an omnibus motion, I don't think is.
No, yeah, definitely. Yeah, so that was going to be my second response to Councilor Barazish's question. So in terms of I guess then I could just send them all in one email and have them ready, because it'll be the same people either way that are voting like this, right? So efficiency, I love this. This is what us business students live for, hey? But on the matter of omnibus motion, we wouldn't be able to do that because each and every one of those policies has its own little section of need to talk about kind of thing and need to generate its conversation on them. So that's how we're going to do it. I hope that answers your question, Emily. Sorry. That was a very long-winded question. I mean, response. Okay, so I'm going to send all these things out to you guys on, through email. So bear with me, because this might take some time. Well, I guess not all councillors here. The difficulty is now,
for the next policy, and then
you can welcome
at the same time.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so how about this? Since it's going to take me quite some time to find everybody's emails, type them in here, and then send all of them together, can we go to discussion of the next policy so we're not just kind of sitting and wondering? Are you guys okay with that? Yeah? I'm not seeing anyone saying no, so I'm going to assume that that's a yes. Absence of a no does not mean yes, but just for here, absence of a no, I'm going to take it as a yes. Yeah? Already. We will begin. Okay, so then the next policy is section on section 8D, which is discussing again a motion by Councilor Motoska to approve the capital projects policy. Do we have a seconder for this motion? That's been put forward by Councilor Barazesh. Councilor Motoska, would you like to speak on this one as well?
If VP Fotang is in the room, I will defer my time to him to speak on it.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, so for this policy, this is just an update to the initial capital projects policy. So this is the first principles, and it's just providing some facts here with some citations. The biggest changes that I wanted to outline is just that the first policy had a heavy emphasis on just like advocating that our capital projects not be financed by tuition. If you look at the university budget, that is really not the case. So it's just about eliminating that. So I think that is the first fact. Other stuff you would suppose is just the cost of our maintenance being like $85 million now. We could have $2 million in 5 years. Kind of going over the process of how capital projects are approved, and then also talking about sustainability in regards to our buildings and how it's more resourceful to build on current structures, and it is just fine use random spaces and just expand on, you know, buildings on campus that have to be dealt with and have higher costs to address, you know, basically what the free maintenance is. So that's that. That's it. And if anyone has any questions, feel free to ask them.
Okay. Yeah, if you guys have got any questions for this motion, it would be time to ask them.
I see. Okay.
Yes, go ahead. Sorry, I'm good.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you for bringing this policy. It looks pretty solid overall. My one question here is there's a very heavy focus on, you know, the university trying to pursue any other possible sources of revenue other than tuition fees. Just a question of curiosity, and it's a pretty neat case, but with the exceptional tuition increases, and there are specific allocations in some programs for like lab space and peer space and things like that to get those quality improvements. So I'm just curious as to, like, do those fit in as capital projects, or like how does that kind of fit into the framework?
Good question.
Like presumably, like,
yeah. I'm trying to think. Yeah, sorry. To my knowledge, at least a lot of these things like lab renewals are under, like, still fall under capital plan. Like, for example, I mentioned the last like lab renewal that we saw for like Augustana CSJ even here at North. Those came through like the post secondary strategic investment fund, like those were federal grants. So I don't think those are funded specifically through tuition, but presently, or I heard the money, but we still have to back to the questions and emails specifically.
Okay, I mean, like, presumably we want to be advocating to the university for them to utilize any grant and things that are available to us anyway. So
I guess, would you want to just see some of that reflected?
Yeah, it might be a good addition. So I know all the tuition stuff was stricken from the policy because that's not really a thing, but in some circumstances it can kind of be a thing. So maybe a piece of policy on like the university exploring all, and you already kind of do this, but exploring all possible, you know, grants, philanthropic recommendations, anything before resorting to using to fund more directly might be a good addition.
Okay. So would you then recommend some kind of friendly amendments to the first fact then?
Yeah, I can do that. So I'll maybe propose a friendly amendment. Even on the panel. Maybe something along the lines of the university shall explore all other funding options before relying on student tuition or fees. Maybe just like an amendment to that last sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that's pretty nitpicky, but most of it is like that.
Hi, just wondering if that would be more so suited for the resolutions or to be put into the facts.
probably better for the
resolution.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think what we can do then, thank you for raising that, Governor McCartney, if we could bend in the fact, like fact one, just amend it to say that like acceptable tuition proposals can also like factor into like funding the like lab spaces, that if you can sauce me some like any specifics, you know, like for example, tent or something.
Yeah, I can just sauce everything that was over there. Cool. Thanks.
Okay. Have you guys got any more questions relating to this policy? No? Okay, so I'm just about done putting these things in here. Still gonna take a couple minutes to make sure everybody gets it. Really quickly, Councilor Dillon, what's your email?
SK2@yourbrother.ca.
SK2, that's so cool. I didn't know that some people had their first names.
There's too many Simrans at the U of A.
That's fair. Okay. So in a few seconds, y'all will be getting a flurry of links. Forgive me, this is quite the tedious process. Okay, perfect. Yeah. So we're going to discuss the next policy meanwhile, which has been put forward, I believe, once again by Councilor Matoska on the, I guess so, on the first principles for the food security policy. Do we have a second up for that? Put forward by Councilor Moritz. Thank you so much. Councilor Matoska.
Hello, hello. Yes. Yeah, so this policy was previously named the food policy, but we decided to better name it the food security policy because that's what the policy actually talks about. So it outlines a bunch of different facts surrounding food insecurity among people both in our campus and around our campus, as well as talks about what food insecurity is, what food secure is, as well as some of the programs and strategic plans that the university has, as well as the different services that the university and the Students Union provide to combat and tackle food insecurity.
Okay, do we have any questions from the floor? Any questions from the floor would be welcome. Once again, I apologize, you guys, this is quite the clandestine way of doing this, but I guess it makes it easier for us in the long run to just have everything done once and for all, you know what I mean? Okay. No points to discuss on this already then. We're gonna move to the next one as well. Which is another, no, this is a different, this is brought forward by Vice President Kimani, which is a motion to discuss the UASU 2022-2023 capital and operating budget. If you don't mind, I'm going to move to have 8G instead because it's more of a voting once again for bylaw 8000, because I think this one would need more moderation or discussion, right? Okay. So, Councillor Dillon, we're going to move to your motion instead. Do we have a second up for that motion? Thank you very much, Councillor Vaughan. Would you like to speak on it?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so one slight amendment is since ASC is changing their name, we'll have to change like how ASC is mentioned in the bylaw, but that will be like an easy fix. I can just like commit F it. Everything else, it's been something that's been in the process for a very long time. We've done like extensive consultation with like every committee that's kind of involved in this, and also like just FAs and other stuff. So there's been a lot of consultation, a lot of discussion. So hopefully you guys like it, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions relating this matter? this motion, and she didn't say it's a matter because it is a motion. No? Okay. Well, I guess I'm running out of time now, hey? My slow fingers need to move faster. Almost there. You know, you'd think that there's a much easier way to do this. And technically, we have a voting system in chambers. So I urge as many people to come to chambers. We don't have to do this every time. Oh my God. No, for real though, if you can make council, that's okay. I'm not mad at you or anything. Just a little disappointed. Stuff happens, you know what I mean? Shorten this URL. Okay, we're almost there. Well, I guess that's it. Okay, I've just sent you guys the motions. There should be like 8. If you haven't received it, please let me know. Yeah. I hope I didn't send them to the wrong people, because that'd be also very awkward.
You send them to everybody who isn't here.
Wouldn't that be crazy? I hope they work.
We're both disappointed and impressed.
You haven't received it?
No.
What? Are you serious? Really? What's your email?
It's gkazur3@ulm.edu.
Oh, I guess they already created your SU email. You haven't started using SU email yet, have you?
I haven't.
Yeah, I got you. Don't worry.
Thank you, guys.
Are you serious? Really? That's so weird. Okay, hold on. Oh, I see what I did. Okay.
And Councillor Ouellette didn't get the links either.
Okay. Councillor Mathieu, your email is methe@yourbuzzer. Okay. Councillor Ouellette as well.
I just have two questions for
you. Yes, go ahead.
So there needs to be 3 meetings, right?
Yeah.
Or 2 meetings.
So there's first principles for 3 and then a first reading for bylaw 100. So we haven't gotten to that one just yet.
Okay.
So don't vote on that one just yet.
No, I meant bylaw 100. So the amendment to bylaw 100 needs 3 readings, right? Or 2 readings.
Yeah. So it's 2 readings. So there's a first reading, then I'll go back to policy, then second readings, which will be final readings, right?
Yes. Let's just use the policy. It's bylaw.
Right. Take it to work. Okay, it goes to bylaw and then comes back. The second readings, which will then be them being approved, right? Sorry, I need to be sending this email. So, oh my goodness, it's distracting me.
I just also mentioned that you included a form for
about that should end up being
students union and that we already.
Oh, yeah. See, I was ready with the forms, and then we didn't need them. Councillor Ouellette, what's your email? I'm so sorry. This should not be this hard.
I think it's something else maybe.
And you are better?
I think so.
Okay. So it comes up. So I trust you. Yes, to someone else. Sorry. I asked them to kindly ask them to delete it.
It is.
It is, yeah.
It is not. Our view roulette.
Oh shit. You actually sent it.
And
Nathan as well?
Yeah.
Okay, I saw Nathan's message. RB.
Oh. My bad on that one.
No, it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
I was guessing. See the last name.
Okay, so has everybody received the links? Mm-hmm. I'm going to start checking to see who's not been voting. This is quite a strange council today, hey?
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's 7:20 p.m. almost done. That way. Councillor Tahan, did you get it? Yeah? Thank you. Oh, I'm so sorry, you guys. This is all my bad. I mean, Councillor Mathieu, did you get them?
Yep.
I'm so sorry. That's my bad. I think I sent it to the wrong I should know. You know when it's like an SU email, it doesn't have everyone, like new Alberta emails. So I have to go to my personal, type people's names, and then.
Point of information. Are we only voting? So we're just voting on the ones that we've discussed, right?
Yes. So we're not voting on the bylaw 100, which we haven't discussed.
Okay.
So please, yeah, please don't vote. If there's anyone, I'll just clear it if they voted. So I'll just clear it again. So don't worry. I just thought I'd just send all of them right now instead of.
I was just excited.
Okay, don't worry. There are 17 others like yourself. So don't worry. We're voting on something we haven't discussed. It's fine. You know, it's fine. Okay, you guys, we're going to discuss the bylaw 100 and then re-vote on it. So you guys already voted, and I'm glad. And for the first time, we have almost four votes, which is like still a few people who are, you know, slacking as usual, but it's fine. I'm not mad about that, just a little hurt. Oh, what? Love it. Okay, so first principles of the capital project has passed unanimously. The first principles of the food security policy have also passed unanimously. First principles of the revised bylaw 8000 series has also passed unanimously. And finally, the motion to approve the first principles to the Campus Saint Jean policy has also passed unanimously. A few people did not vote, but we reached quorum, so we're going to go ahead. Okay, guys, thank you so much for being so patient with me. That was incredibly painful. Oh, I apologize. But I guess this seems to be more efficient, I hope. Yeah, it hasn't been more efficient, guys? No? How do you feel here and there? I guess there's always room to fix stuff, and this is why I like being in this council. Get things done, eventually. Okay. So we still need to then talk about motion. Why didn't we talk about 8H? Anyway, first reading of bylaw 100 for Students' Council, and then we're going to go back to the discussion on 8F, subsection F. Yes.
Oh,
it's
just
an item. Okay. This is a motion by Vice President Montero, seconded by Councilor Barisic, to approve the first reading of the bylaw 100 Students' Council principle. And so, Vice President Montero, go ahead.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, I'm happy to bring this all to you today. So this is just a follow-up based on some conversations that I've had with the Executive Committee and changes that we're hoping to make for the Community Council, but also in response to changes that we're going to make to bylaw 2300 when we're talking about a temporary retention process. So I'm just going to highlight the ones that I've indicated here in case you haven't had a chance to read it. The first one is in bylaw states around, it has language around what council isn't able to do around temporary appointments or appointments just in general. So we just want to clarify that language so that council is able to develop a process for filling these positions temporarily, government's more accessible. Second is giving flexibility to have the speaker selected within the first month of council. So right now, one of the main drivers for bringing this change forward is we really want to change the way that we're onboarding Students' Council next year. Because one of the biggest concerns that we've heard is that when councillors start in their first meeting in council or council meeting zero, they are immediately appointed to committees, have no idea what any of those committees do, have no idea how to chair, have no idea what a chair is, and are not equipped to be able to actually make sure Students' Council is functioning properly. And part of those changes that President Lay, myself, Mark have discussed are around doing a better onboarding for Students' Council in the first few, within the first three meetings of council, so that council is equipped, has an understanding of everything that happens within committees, what their responsibilities are, and then they can make an informed decision on how they want to be on those committees. That's neither here nor there, but the biggest issue that we need to resolve is that it says in bylaw that the speaker has to be elected within the first meeting of council. And I think that creates a bunch of challenges because it kind of forces the hand of council to start their business immediately and doesn't give us the appropriate time to do an onboarding for council to discuss what their expectations are of each other, of the group, and establish what their shared vision is for the year and what they want to accomplish, because I think that plays a very significant role in identifying who we would select as a speaker and what kind of qualities we're looking for. So we want to make sure that we give council that ample opportunity before we start. That would mean within the first two meetings of council, we would do onboarding to get council to understand are having people understand what the roles of the committees are, where their interests are, give people the opportunity to share that with us, so that we can do a better job of selecting or appointing people to committees, then select the speaker, and make sure we're selecting a speaker at the end of that meeting, so that the speaker is not prone to chairing the meeting right after they get tired, like it happened this year. So this results in a lot of challenges, so that's the reason why that's important. And the last two are just changes to replenishment process, so or replenishment process and vacancy. So one thing that bylaw committees identify is a challenge with wanting students to come forward for vacancy petitions after the by-election, and such a, and the high threshold that we have for numbers to get to get to do that. I think right now it's about 60 and 50, and we want to be discussed and agree that we want to lower that threshold to make it easier for students to be involved. So that's one. The other one is a month 2300 that we want to make a change for, and outlining what the temporary vacancy petition or solution will look like, which is going to be required to change for bylaw 100 to make a change to 2300. So yeah, well, very straightforward. I'm happy to, if it's not straightforward, I'm happy to answer any questions.
So from what I'm understanding, it's kind of like you need to change bylaw 100 to then change bylaw 2300 to then bring that into reality, okay?
Essentially.
Okay.
So because, I mean, once we get through governance restructuring and necessary changes to bylaws are made and we develop a better structure,
okay.
This won't be a problem, but we have a lot of bylaws that are intertwined with other bylaws, which means that changing one
means changing
to mean,
means to change the other. I guess it's kind of what, like...
Yeah, it's one thing we want to fix in the future, but as we're working towards that, we still have to make changes.
It's okay. Nice. Oh, that's so nice. Decluttering the bylaw. Oh my goodness. Okay, sorry. Not my time to speak. Go ahead.
I might have missed this, but who would be then serving as speaker in that first thing before council?
Sure. So there's no structured business that council is going to be doing in those first two meetings, which means the responsibility basically will be on the governance team. Like right now, for our standing committees, for example, those meetings are run by Courtney. The lovely Courtney Graham over there, who's our governance support specialist, until we have a chair for those meetings, and then obviously the chair will take over. So in the event that this happens, the governance support team does the transition for the exact same arc. Myself, or the incoming president, will play a role in that, and doing that transition for the incoming team. And then, because that's not necessarily facilitated, it's more so like an orientation, getting council introduced to what's happening, then when council is actually going to start its business, we make sure we have a speaker card.
So there won't be a speaker for those two sessions.
No, but one of the main things that we considered in this is that when we bring when we just put people onto council onto committee, we spend a good 2 months probably with everyone trying to figure out
what's going
what is actually happening. Where I think we waste more time doing things right away than we would if we were to do a proper orientation, everyone understanding what the responsibilities were, and then starting the rules. So this is really being proactive and preventing that from happening. So we don't really spend the summer with no one understanding what the roles and responsibilities are and us accomplishing nothing in 4 months of a 12-month term.
Okay. So then, okay, cool. Cool. I'll ask you more questions after this.
Yeah.
Anyway. Are there any more questions or comments on this matter? No?
Okay, can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, now that you guys have talked about who would chair the first two meetings, I have not thought of this before. That's a good question. I know you said that we don't do a lot of business, but would it be possible for the most senior member of council to be chair of them in that case?
Yeah, I mean, that could be possible. That's what I mean, the most senior member of council. I think the biggest thing is the limitation here. And depending on what is actually being discussed in those first initial meetings, we can establish as a group. Who the most appropriate person to chair legal sessions are. So you don't have to make that limitation in bylaw per se, saying this person has to do it, because quite frankly, anything can happen. And we want to make sure that there's somebody to be there. So we can discuss it as a group on who should chair that. Realistically, someone's going to lead the session. It's most likely going to be the general manager, Mark, as somebody who's going to help provide the context and information for council. And yeah, from there, it'll probably just differ, but it's really not. It's not too structured in the sense that if someone is going to have to facilitate discussion. It's not meant to be something that's, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. I don't think it's going to be an issue.
Okay. So do we have any more questions, comments, points of clarification for this policy? No? Okay, so you guys already have a link. If you don't have it, came and don't add me. Please do vote now on bylaw 100, or the first principles that are being put forward on the amendments for this. So please do go ahead and vote now. And then we'll move to subsection F. Yes, I reset the vote. So if you already voted, it doesn't count. We're voting now. So please vote.
I didn't think so. It's just the last thing, second last session. I'm writing this down.
Well, it'd be good for whoever comes in the position after.
Yeah. I didn't even know this 20 months ago. I'm like, this is stupid.
It's fine.
It's okay.
I'm doing this. It's fine. I am an employee of council, so I do like council sex.
This just reminds me of the meme of the dog.
Yeah.
That is me right now.
That is me right now. That is genuinely me right now. Okay. Alrighty. We just need a couple more to achieve quorum. To achieve the amount of votes for it to count. So please, I know you guys are listening. I hope you're listening. If not, that's fine. Genuinely, please do vote. We still need like six votes at least. No, okay, we need three more to get to quorum. It's like this every time. Okay, so we got two more votes right away right here. So the motion is passed unanimously. And so we look forward to taking a look at the second reading of all the principles as well as this bylaw. Okay. Please make sure you guys are taking some water, stretching your legs. It's getting cozy. We still have a bit to go. And I hope you're enjoying the ride. Okay. Section 8F, which is a motion by Councillor Dillon. Wait, no, we've already done that. Sorry. This is 8H. He just changed things on me a little bit there. It's a motion by Vice President Kimani to discuss the UASU capital and operating budget. Do you have a second of that, please? Put forward by President Lee as our seconder. Okay, Vice President Kimani, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Philip. So as well, we know by now, the capital and operating budget is the annual budget the SU has to spend on things like services, events, initiatives, stuff like that. And the budget is determined by a set of budget principles every single year. So I brought the budget principles to finance and the council, and then from there we built the budget. The budget was approved by the finance committee, and now it's brought here. So the entire process outlined by Wyla has been followed. If you want a refresher, you can go to bylaw, it's all there. And so before we have a discussion, I'm just gonna pass it over to Mark to give a brief overview of the budget and how much money is going where and like why. And then after that, I'll kind of bring it back and highlight where the budget principles came into play. So Mark, I'll pass it over to you. I also sent the budget to everybody this morning, so you can access it there and like follow along if you want.
Mr. Speaker, given that this is a fairly important topic and it's a complicated topic, do I have more than 3 minutes? Can I take 5 or 10 minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's probably you're given the space to speak for 10 minutes, so you're good.
Okay. Can I share the screen? Can you let me have a sharing ability?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, let me just find the document here. Here we go. All right, so every year, of course, council has to approve our budget. This is an interesting budget because after 2 years of pandemic budgets and a year before where our budget was kind of thrown into disarray by in March, this is the first kind of almost back to normal budget that we have. With that in mind, the documents that you have include some historical data as well. I think the most relevant point of contrast would be with 2018-19 numbers, not the other numbers. The numbers are all skewed, both by reduced revenues and by the revenues we received from the Canada Emergency Wage Subsidy and other programs. So they weren't really very realistic. This is a more realistic thing. No government stimulus or subsidy programs, back to normal, or we're expecting in the fall, reasonably back to normal summer. So I'm just going to run through this. General revenues, big thing to note here is student fees are up quite a bit. They're up because our fees are indexed to CPI, and CPI in January was 4.8%. So I believe they're up 4.8%. It could be 4.7. I'm not 100%. The number escapes me at the moment, but it's almost 5%, which is a big jump, but it's part of policy. It was that's pursuant to a referendum passed in 1992. Business revenue for the upcoming year is generally just under what we did in 2018-19, our last full non-pandemic year. We're projecting this daily grind to do better, though, because daily grind had been a bit of a decline, and we're also renovating daily grind this summer. So we expect a lot more business there, along with a boost from the theater. Overall, our business budgets reflect very conservative assumptions, given we're budgeting to be coming a little bit less than we did 2 years ago, but enrollment has gone up in that period, and there's been a good deal of inflation. So if we were actually performing at that level of 2018-19, our revenue numbers would be higher. However, we're being conservative and guessing that we'll get to about 90-95% because we don't expect the summer to be fully normal. And we're hampered a little bit by the theater still being closed for 6 months. The HEC numbers are conservative. The upshot of the Horowitz Event Center, which was something we created 2 years ago, three plus years ago to try to create a new revenue center for the Students Union. And just as it was starting to hit profitability on a month-to-month basis, the pandemic hit. We expect that we're going to lose a little bit of money this year there, but not a lot. And we think that probably by October, November, we'll be running monthly surpluses. So we're going to come back, and when the theater opens, we'll come back very strong. So we expect it to be a good profit center next year. One of the things internally we've been thinking a lot about is return to campus. There's been two full years where people really haven't had that campus experience. And we know that with the elimination of restrictions in the past few months, we've seen a tremendous surge in interest and activity from student groups. So we expect that to continue. We expect there to be a lot of interest in it. We now have a kind of a backlog, a pent-up demand from people who started school over, it'll be 3 years in September. They're all looking for that university experience. And that student group experience and that whole co-curricular, extracurricular thing. So we've decided to make some pretty significant investments in programming. Not excessive. They're still in line with where we were 3 or 4 years ago. But we're a leaner operation now, and we are going to be doing a lot more for student groups and events because of that. In student services, we're making significant investments in services, but we have less revenue coming in. This reflects a couple of things: investments in student group services, so we're adding staff there, and in student leadership to meet the demand we expect in the new year. One of the things about the fact that we haven't had a normal year is that a lot of the institutional memory of students about school, about what the campus community is about school spirit, about how to run an event, what events does your group do, it's kind of lost. And we have to invest in helping those groups get back on the horse, so to speak. So we're investing in SGS and leadership to help provide more training and support to those groups. We're very excited at the enthusiasm that we've received. We're working with the university on all of this. We're kind of trying to bring everybody together to kind of have the best year ever, because God knows students deserve it after 2 years of the pandemic. Moving on, one thing that's always controversial on Reddit is marketing. We expanded marketing last year because, simply put, we were underspending. It's important to understand that for an organization of our size, we are incredibly diverse. A $10 to $15 million operating budget, but dozens of departments, activities, programs, advocacy initiatives, and all those things all need marketing efforts. If you compare it to various standards are for various industries, we're still very low in terms of the percentage of our budget that we're putting towards marketing right now. We expect to be spending about 3.6% of our budget on marketing. That's because we have a lot to market. We have a lot to communicate. One of the really positive things this year is digital platforms such as SUTV and Perks and our sponsorship programs are back in full force. They won't be quite to where they were a couple of years ago, but we expect them to actually continue to grow from this point forward and to exceed previous previous efforts. Those revenues go to two places right now. One is has a revenue to our events, our student programming activities, and such as Week of Welcome. And the other is to offset how much we're investing in IT and development, because those platforms, they're bespoke and they take some effort to do. Right now what we're talking about is doing kind of an online portal for student groups to make it easier for them to do things with the students union and for us to provide more services to them. And we're hoping to have that up in September. Let's see here. When it comes to the building itself, a big source of our revenue is our retail rent. It took a big hit during the pandemic. It's back, but we're still off about 15% from where we should be. So that is a 20 to 25%. We're about $200,000 to $300,000 less than where I'd like to see us for retail rent. And that's because we've cut some breaks to our tenants who suffered a little bit during the pandemic. On the good side of that, though, our maintenance costs for sub, our facility staff, custodial services, maintenance services, those costs have gone down a little bit over the last few years, and we think we can keep them down. We've made some changes to our management structure to make that work a bit better, and we're pretty happy with where we are with that. And, you know, I think there's been a lot of talk on Reddit about how the university cleaning standard is moderately dingy, which I think is a hilarious phrase. That's not our standard. We don't really follow those standards per se. We keep it to a clean standard. We want it to be an appealing building. So there's that. Representation and advocacy budgets are basically back to normal once you factor in inflation. Same applies to our central support services, which is IT, accounting, HR, myself. The big growth factor here is IT and their development costs for expenditures. And that reflects our significant expenditures in IT. We really think that IT is a competitive advantage for us and are working on it. We also believe that these are potential new revenue sources for us in about 2 years' time. Right now, our business manager is marketing some of the things that we've developed to other schools for their use. We don't know if there's a business there for sure, but we're certainly exploring that, because that would offset our costs quite a bit. So that's kind of interesting, but that's about 2 years out. That's it. We're very happy with the budget this year. As Emily will go over, it has allowed us to meet the budget principles and also to factor in that this is going to be a unique year with return to campus. And the anticipated rebound in demand we expect from our students for activities and events, we've planned for that. And we think we have coming out of 2 years of basically being in partial hibernation, we're pretty happy that we were able to balance the budget and expand activities in those areas to the level that we did. That's it, and I'll welcome any questions after Emily has her comments. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that, Mark. So I just want to assure everybody that this budget does reflect the budget principles that we approved a few weeks ago. Mark and I had a very, very long meeting to talk about like where we can allocate certain resources so that our budget principles do come through. So we're putting more resources into Students' Council, more resources into our health and mental initiatives. As Mark said, like return back to campus to ensure that student life is being made a priority throughout the year, as well as ensuring that SELG, like as a building, is just evolving and it's accommodating students. So yeah, we welcome any feedback or any questions that you have. Thanks.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Doomshaw, of course, and Vice President Kimani. I know it definitely takes quite a lot to bring up and come up with a budget in different ways to move stuff around. Okay, so as you guys know how we do it, when we're coming up for discussion, please do, if you're here, raise your placards as we have already on the floor. And if you're online, I will, please enter your name on the speaker's list and we'll get the show on the road. So Governor Altamani, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for that presentation. My question is slightly out of scope, but it is part of the budget, so I'll bring it up here. $10 million capital fund is looking at $2.2 million in incoming revenue for next year. I'm just curious if we had a bit of an update on. So I haven't been on council for the whole year, but I've noticed a lot of new applications recently. So I'm just wondering kind of where that's at in terms of like how much money is sitting there from SCFC, how much is being dispersed, and
I can answer like the first part of that question and I can give it back to Mark. So that is a major concern for us. And I know like moving on to next year, and I've talked to Jules a lot about this. Like we need to talk to our marketing or communications about how to engage students with that. I do think COVID was a really big factor of why students were really engaged. 2 years ago, like we got over 11 applications, I believe, and students were really engaged. So that's definitely a concern, and we're trying to look to follow up with that. But I'll pass it over to Mark to kind of explain where the money is at and where it's sitting.
So last year, or this year actually, we changed our accounting policies on SCF and a number of reserve funds to make them to lock them in further. We changed the accounting basis. And what that means is that everything we collect for SCF has to go to the capital funds. Council cannot reallocate it. That's in keeping with the commitment we made to students during the referendum, and no problem with that. But the result is that gets represented in the budget as all the money comes in and all the money goes out. That isn't actually how it is in accounting. In the final financial statements, it's what we recorded is what's called deferred revenue. I don't want to get into that, but the basic matter is we zero it out on the budget because all that money, it doesn't affect our annual overall stuff. In terms of what we're doing with it, we're in the middle of doing a building master plan. I'd say a 15 or 20 year master plan. We're going to be bringing drafts of that to council probably in the summer or early fall, the first draft of that. We still have to take it through the committee and all of that. Very exciting stuff. There's no question that this money, and council will decide whether those projects and the building plan meets the criteria of SCF. There's no question that the money can definitely be used there. We're also going to be exploring with the university pure sustainability plays. So we'll be talking to them. I haven't talked to them about this, so don't quote me here, but like we have this parkade across the way. Why the hell don't we have solar panels on the damn parkade? We have a lot more solar we can do in the building. There's a lot more we can do for sustainability in terms of, for my personal interest is in the carbon aspect of things. The building planning group is really interested, has really put a lot of focus on the social sustainability stuff. What I can say is you can expect we're going to be refreshing. And by refreshing, I mean we're going to be fixing up because throwing stuff out is not very sustainable. We're going to be fixing up some of the furniture we bought in 2015 this summer. We're going to be buying some new furniture for the atrium. And we're going to be doing a bunch of stuff in the patio to kind of make it a little bit more appealing and inclusive. So I don't have a lot more to say about that at this point, because it's all there are, our designers and that are still working on that stuff, but that's all going to come to council in the near future. And that's one of the first things actually that Julia will be working on next year. I hope that answers your question. I don't have an itemized list at this point. I'll just say that in the budget, it's represented as a net zero because it's going to be spent on SCF fulfilling projects as decided by council. So it doesn't affect the operating budget. So we basically make the revenues and expenditures equal. It's not that we have entirely fixed plans for it yet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, Councilor Beasley.
So this is a nice follow-up, because this is also about revenues and expenditures being equal. For the digital platforms and sponsorships line items, like the SUTP and the sponsorship, revenues equal expenses. And I was just looking for clarity, I guess, on like why they did, or like I assume it's an accounting trick or an accounting thing that I just don't know much about.
Sorry, but can you repeat the question? I didn't quite catch it.
I'm just curious, for the digital platform and sponsorships, like SUTP. Handbook and the sponsorship things, the revenue equals expenses.
Yes.
And so I just wanted clarity, I guess, on why that was the case.
Because they take in a ton of money, and we just basically said, this is how much money you're taking out. We're going to transfer this much money into, so we have a lot of control over the expenditures. Sorry, that's my dog in the background. We can zero it out very easily because everything we take in, we basically send to a different budget line in our budget. So those expenditures actually end up either in the events department revenue line or in the IT revenue line. Does that clarify things for you at all, Chris?
That was, yeah. So like the for instance, the $91,000 for SUTV, expenditure then is like the expenses. That's not a $91,000 expense for SUTV. SUTV brings in $91,000 of revenue, and the $91,000 goes to other line items.
Yes, just that support SUTV. And there's also an allocation out of a proportion of the staff, the sales costs with SUTV. So what we do is take out. We expect to get $91,000. We're going to allocate X dollars of salary cost to that to support that $90,000. And then whatever's left, we give to, I think for SUTV, we give it all to IT to continue development of the program.
You have me up until the revenue that goes back into the like support structures. So does SUTV have like $90,000 worth of things that like support it or like help?
No. No, I'd say it's more like 30 or 40 that we do right now. But we put some of it into, we probably put some of it towards events. Like we don't, I won't say that we do that on a really granular basis. I talk to our finance manager and I say, basically, whatever we don't spend in this area, we need to put it towards the other costs that support it. We have four developers this year, maybe four, maybe five. And their work is going to be on SUTV and on perks and on some other, and on, you guys don't know, but we have a program called Backstage. All of these programs have had, we've had interest expressed from other schools to use our software, which is great. But our software is just designed for internal use. So we have to actually get it to a certain point, a minimum viable candidate product stage, so that we can actually share it with other schools. And we have to do that in a way which doesn't cost us any money and actually helps pay for our cost in developing these things. So what we're doing right now is we're kind of investing in that infrastructure so that we can do that over the next 2 years. This is something that many of you have, and the executives know this, and some councils are coming to talk about this. I can talk about this for actually days. This is a big thing that we're working on, Chris, and I encourage you, set up a meeting with me and I'll go into some detail, but it's actually quite complicated. And I'm happy to talk about it at some length.
Okay,
I might take you up on that, Mark. Thanks.
Okay. I guess we'll, before either of you guys speak again, do we have any new questions or comments from the floor on this motion? Anybody else would like to enter into the speaker's list on this before we allow our lovely members of council to go again? No? Okay, Governor Otamani, and then we'll go back, bounce back to you, Chris, if that's okay.
Yeah, it's a bit of a fault on our end. So if we have like $90,000 in revenue from SUTD, and let's say, like, you throw a number like $30,000 is directly going back in that program, the rest is going to general IT. Would it not be better budget transparency for SUTD to be showing as a $60,000 surplus and then an additional $60,000 expenditure in technical support? Like, I would imagine that this is all going at a finer, more granular level that isn't shown here. But I do think there's Omni overview that would probably be kind of easier, I think, to understand.
You know what? I couldn't agree more with you, Adrian. One of the things that I've been wanting to do for a year or two, but it's not ever gotten to the top of the priority list because we are always doing stuff. But I've talked to my finance manager about is we need to actually overhaul how we report and explain our numbers to council, because I have a hard time understanding it. I've been dealing with this for 20 years, so 30 years. So I don't think we have a very good way of representing that. Again, how you're talking about it is one way, and we need to have that discussion. And I think that's something that finance committee should. I mean, I would really like finance committee's guidance on next year. How do you want us to explain this to council? It's really hard to convey, but we, for our size, we are remarkably complicated. And I think that's a problem. If we can't find a way to make it make more sense, I don't think council's able to do its job in terms of oversight. And I think it's really important that you do your job in terms of oversight. It isn't intentional. It's like over time, things have evolved one way or the other. And like anything, you have to every so often take a step back and do some maintenance. And you started off in one place, you're now over here, but your systems have been jury-rigged to get to this point. Well, now we need to fix that. And that's how I think we are with our reporting of our numbers and our financials. I hope that's satisfactory answer for you, Adrian. I know you're going to be on council next year, so you can lead the charge, run for finance committee.
I certainly will follow up on that. Yeah, and no, that makes a lot of sense. And I know these things are tough to report on, but yeah, just like things like that. Like when it's a physical program that has $0 net, that's always, I think, just ringing like alarm bells for me. Just like, just something fishy going on here. Obviously, nothing is. Yeah, but that would be a thing to follow up on in council. So thanks, Mark.
Okay, Costa Beasley.
Myself and the governor are bouncing off of each other. So the other thing that really, I guess, flies for me just as like a member of the board of this institution. So the budget for tech support declined from $55,000 last year to $50,000. And Mark, I know you're talking a lot about like IT growth in particular in the future and like supporting like future IT initiatives. I just wanted to ask, and then also.
Oh.
Now hearing the answer to Adrian's question, like, is there still going to be like a net growth in IT support, even though it's not reflected in the direct money allocated? There might be more IT support coming from sponsorship revenue or SUTD.
So you're looking at the capital component, which is a separate. It's a separate item that is basically cost related specifically to perks. So. It's just what we think we need. Peter and I, our finance guy, have to figure out what goes into capital and what goes into operating. And I think that what we actually have in capital should be in operating. What we have in operating should be in capital. We're going to have a little discussion about that. But the amounts, the aggregate amounts, are the same. That amount is roughly equivalent to what our prizing budget is for perks in a year. So that's kind of how we garner engagement. I want to talk a little bit about perks. We had tremendous take up from other schools. A lot of people are interested in it, and they're interested in it because of because of what it's done for us in terms of the data we get. I don't know if Cass doesn't get all this, but we get we do surveys, as you guys, if you use Perks, we do it all the time, and we get this great survey data that we can use in advocacy that allows us to track certain things. Like I can tell you, our COVID data actually pretty much tracks what gets reported by other sources. It's pretty interesting, and it shows the distinction. It also shows a bit of distinction in terms of how COVID and testing work on campus versus outside of it. And this stuff is very useful for planning. We do surveys on what people think about policing, on what people think about insecurity, food insecurity, all these kinds of things. And along the way, we give students who wouldn't, the original intent of it was to give students who wouldn't traditionally get involved in what the Students Union does, something to do. It eventually is going to become part of a larger loyalty approach. This is related to our strategy to deal with, to deal with certain UCP policies, which have not been enacted, but if they ever are, they're like the SCI policies in Ontario. We want to be prepared. And we think that ensuring that we're engaged and connected with our students, all of our students, is important. And we find that Perks has been a really effective way to grow it. I mean, most students don't use Perks, but the ones who do, they're quite engaged with it. And we're pretty happy with how we've seen that kind of grow. Sorry, that's a long-winded answer, but I hope it's helpful.
No, I appreciate it. The one thing that I'll add is, again, just to echo like Adrian's point just on like budget transparency principles, which Mark, I'm sure that you agree with me as well.
Yeah.
But hearing now this $50,000 line item is for Perks makes a ton of sense. But I don't think there was like a single way that like me in the 6 hours that I've had this budget could have possibly figured that out. And so that might just be something for next year, I guess.
I agree. I think finance committee the finance committee can do more. But we need to change things internally too. So we can work together to do that next year, I'm hoping.
Perfect. Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to come off as like too
no.
Cool. Yeah. I'm lodging it since I won't be around next year.
I also have to like pound and we take on Reddit for marketing, things like that. So
yeah.
Okay, that was quite an interesting conversation, I must admit. Okay, but no, really, I enjoyed this conversation. Do we have any more people who'd like to speak? I have one more question. This is your last speaking turn, so use it wisely. Before you go ahead, are there any new entrances to the speakers list? Seems not. Okay, go ahead.
This one's the fun one and the easy one, I think. $74,000 investment in the daily grind. Is there any context, I guess, on like what that's going to look like or anything? I'm not sure, Mark, if you have context on that already, I guess.
Yeah, I sure can. So we're actually going to be spending quite a bit more than that, but we amortize it over time. So we spread the cost out over 5 years. It's to renovate the daily grind. We're going to expand it. And as part of the theater reno, because it's adjoining it, and because we're creating kind of a loungy space, there's a lounge space being created that kind of works almost as a cafeteria. We're kind of rearranging how the daily grind works, and that's going to cost us about $250,000. We're going to pay $70,000 of it. We're going to pay the full amount, but then we'll pay back to our reserves the $70,000 this year to offset that, and we'll continue that for 4 or 5 years till it's all paid off. So it's a renovation cost, basically.
Perfect. Concludes my solitaire.
love to see budgetary jurisprudence and being really, really like on the ball. It's really important. Okay. So I'm assuming there are... Yes, go ahead, Vice President Fleming.
Thanks, everybody, for those questions. And thanks, Mark, for coming and presenting and answering all the questions. So if it's okay with council, can I make a motion from the floor to approve the 2022-2023 capital and operating budget?
Yes, so a motion has been put to the floor to approve this to approve this budget, and it's been seconded by Governor Watanabe. Would we like to discuss this? Once again, we're always like you're in the position to say, no, I think we need more time to think about this. I think we need more time to think about, like, to read into this a bit more. At the same time, you guys are like, yeah, man, this looks pretty clean. And we're going to trust Vice President Tulani and Mr. Dushal on everything that's in here. Not saying that you guys are not trustworthy or anything, just making it clear that it's an option for people to say that they're not. Okay, I'll stop. So is there any like discussion that's being had that can is to be had right now about this? No? Already then. Do I have to create another motion? Another four? I do have to create another four. Okay. It's fine. It's fine. Yes.
Can we use, can you just rename the indigenous form? Because we have the link
and
you already voted.
Yeah, it's going to be the idea.
Well,
that, it didn't know, but still though, that
is vision to need to any.
It's been, okay. Did I close them already? Being an enemy to myself right now is what's happening.
Just like the time it takes to make the form, you're pushing us like perfectly to
8:50. Perfect. Oh, isn't that nice? Oh, sorry, guys. As has been stated, it's been a long day. It's been a long week. It's been a long week. Guys, it's only been half a week. Holy. It's not even been half a week, has it?
It's only Tuesday.
It's only Tuesday.
It feels like 2 weeks has happened.
That's so painful.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I've given you mozzarella sticks. Yes, downstairs in the office.
Okay, it's ready. If you guys don't mind, the link that was supposed to be entitled to approve the change of name of the Aboriginal Students Council to ISU, use that link. It should have refreshed now and like will allow you to vote. If you a second. Have you guys found it? Okay, fantastic. That's nice.
This is
going so well.
It makes sense.
It does make sense. Yes, it does make sense.
Yeah, and I'm going backwards because I know like it's
going to
start being like
2020. I'm ready. You guys are for your plan check. I'm
ready to have plan.
I've been seeing this, you know, like the movie, what's the name of that movie? It has Tenet. You know, Tenet. I've seen everything. Oh.
So you're basically gone.
The example, okay.
Yes,
I'm done. That's just what I was trying to show you. You know, that's why I wasn't doing it once all year, just to show you what it looks to not be. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You don't want to be terrified by being perfect.
Exactly. You know, on the level of the people.
Well, quickly, you find out.
Okay, I think we're ready. You ready? Okay, I think we're ready to go. I'm not asking the form right here. Okay, so the motion is passed unanimously, and so the budget has been approved. Okay. Okay, so it's just approaching 8:15 right now. So I'm going to run the council attendance sheet, and then we'll break maybe, if possible, even earlier than that. And then we'll return for the final part of our agenda, which I believe is in general orders. Okay. So, President Day.
Present.
Vice President Montero.
Present.
Vice President Rote.
Present.
Vice President Kimani.
Here.
Vice President Dixie.
Present.
Governor Otumani.
Present.
Councillor Taha.
Hello.
Hi. Councillor Vaughan.
Present.
Councillor Corfe. Here.
Councillor
Yabut. Councillor Avila.
Present.
Councillor Viloso. Councillor Kaur.
Present.
Councillor Beasley.
Here.
Councillor Amar. Councillor Gardner. Councillor Morris.
Here.
Councillor Matoska. Councillor Matoska.
Sorry, I'm here, yes.
That's okay. Councillor Ulid.
Present.
Councillor Thakur. Councillor Thakur. Councillor Kara. Councillor Kara. Okay. Councillor Batiki.
Here.
Councillor Zafar. Councillor DePrato. Councillor Gill.
Here.
Councillor Chopra.
Here.
Councillor Mitte.
Here.
That's true. Councillor Ali.
Here.
Councillor Brownby.
Here.
Councillor Lala. Councillor Sivakumaran. Councillor Garza. Councillor Dillon. Councillor Yeola.
Present.
All right. So it's 8:15. We will break for 15 minutes. The session is adjourned for 15 minutes, and then we'll see you for the last part.
That's a
tougher one.
Sitting for like.
Yeah.
So for one,
Christian, did you just do the fake staircase?
We are entering to section 9A of our agenda, and this will be a live. Let me not jinx myself. Jinx out.